Okay, so what we'd like to do today is to welcome all the Zoomers and to say to delve a little bit deeper into the concepts of Maror, which is ultimately informed to a certain degree by the sugya of Korach, which we saw a little bit, and we need to try to understand more thoroughly what exactly is going on there, considering the fact that it, according to Hillel, is how Maror is fulfilled. So what exactly is the story with Maror, that most bitter of mitzvos, or maybe not even a mitzvah? And that itself requires some definition. So let's start with that. So is Maror a mitzvah? What would you say?
Of any sort. Sure.
Okay, sure. So why are you so sure? How would you define that?
Maybe say it's ma'akev, you don't have Maror.
Well, so I don't know if that would make it a mitzvah, though it doesn't seem to be ma'akev. Ma'akev, I mean the Korban Pesach, bizmano. Because now there isn't anything for it to be ma'akev outside of itself. Sorry?
What is that?
Well, I'm saying now we can't say it's ma'akev bizman hazeh, but it wouldn't be a ma'akev the Korban Pesach either. But the relationship to the Korban Pesach is certainly a part of what we need to figure out. So there was a debate among the Rishonim, not so explicitly, but it seems to be a debate among the Rishonim as to whether to count Maror as a mitzvah, in particular those who did counting, such as the Rambam and the Smag, did not count Maror as a mitzvah, even Bizman Habayis. And that was presumably, as the Rambam indicates in Sefer HaMitzvos, because it was a condition of another mitzvah. It's a condition of Korban Pesach, and Korban Pesach is counted, but Maror is not counted independently. And that's even then. Nowadays, as the Gemara tells us, that Maror is not min haTorah at all. So one question is, was it ever a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo? According to the Rambam, it seems not. According to others, maybe yes. Tosfos and Daf Chav Ches and Mitbeis understands that there was a mitzvah of Maror in and of itself, Bizman Habayis, although now still clearly a drabbanan, as the Gemara says. But Tosfos understands that from the fact that we have this din that an Orel is not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach Leochol Bo. So the Lashon is Bo. In Korban Pesach it can't eat, but it does do the mitzvah of matzah and mar. So that gives the impression that Maror is a mitzvah of eating specifically. However, the Rambam would probably argue that that's not a precise language. It's just the expression. We have matzah and Maror together. It doesn't necessarily mean that that actually constitutes a mitzvah in itself of eating Maror. Language of Rashi, though, is interesting. Did you get a chance to see Rashi in Parshas Bo? Right, so what does Rashi say in Parshas Bo on the Pasuk? Matzos umrorim yachlu. So, maybe I should call up the exact language. There's no chumash in here, right? All right, I'll read to you the Rashi. Amatzos brom yachluhu, pasuches, kol esev mar nikra maror, v'tzivom lechol maror zecher v'miraru eschayehem. Fine, that's what he says. So there is a couple of interesting diukim you can make in this Rashi. All right, so what is What is Rashi telling you there? Telling you a few things, possibly. Can you make any observations from that, Rashi? The language of Rashi is significant. I tell you a couple of dinim. Well, first of all, most relevant to what we're noting here, it says, "Vitzivam lechol maser, lechol marer, zecher levimraru eschayeh." So it sounds like Rashi is understanding that the mitzvah of Min HaTorah of marer is to eat it. So there is specifically a mitzvah of achilas marer. And he throws in that it is Zecher le Vayimaru Eschayehem, which you may be surprised to learn, is actually only one of many views. And so we certainly have as the dominant idea that Murr is to remember the bitterness of the slavery. But if you look at the other Rishonim here on this Pasuk, and elsewhere, so there actually are a whole range of interpretations as to what the symbolism of murder is. So the most well-known is this idea that it represents the Merirus, in which case it's really a stand-in for the whole concept of Avdus. So when we talk about the unit of Pesach, Matzah, Murr coming together, so that each one is a different phase. That's what it sounds like also in the Mishnah that we quote in the Haggadah, which we'll have to prioritize to explore in the time that we have before Pesach. Right, but the Mishnah that we know from the Haggadah, Kedaf Kufta Zayin Amud Aleph, says, Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer, Kol shlo omer shlo shadvar meilu Pesach liyatsi dechavasu ve'elu hei Pesach matzu mar Pesach al shum shepasach hamakom obati avosein mitzrayim shenamar v'martem zevach Pesach ula Hashem asher pasach matza al shum shenigalu avosein mitzrayim shenamar v'ofu asabatzek asher tzim mitzrayim marer al shum shemeru hamitzrayim es chay avosein mitzrayim shenamar imaru es chayay. Right, so what do you see from there? So it sounds like you have three parts in the play. You have the Mar that represents the Avdus, and the Pesach, which represents the Hatzalah, the fact that the Jews were rescued from Mitzrayim, and specifically at the time when the Bechor was, each Mitzrayim was being killed, and God passed over them. And the geula that matzah represents, which is a little bit more of a complex point, how matzah represents the geula. But those are the three parts in the play. And then the idea of davka combining them, both in the sense of korich and in the sense of them being these three crucial themes that have to be expressed, seems to be that we have to have all three of these together as part of the show, part of the display. But it's interesting to note that there are other Rishonim that do see different symbolisms in Marr. So for example, the Rashbam understands that Marr is also a symbol of chipazon, just like the matzah is. And that because having a dip with Marr was actually simpler than having a dip with other types of foods which required more preparation. Now, this is not a very well-known idea that there are any other candidates for what Mar is about. Jack, you have a question?
Yeah, I was curious about this order of Pesach, Matzah, Mar.
It's also interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, I would think...
And the order is not always the same. That's also, we're going to get to that, God willing.
Right. But what is the idea behind this order?
So we have to get to that. So we have to try to first of all understand how all the parts relate to each other, and then hopefully either today or tomorrow we will get to the order issue, because it is significant. So that idea that it could be other things is interesting. The Chizkuni says that Marer is a part of the Bittul of Avodah Zarah, of the Korban Pesach. That not only do we shecht their God, we shecht the lamb and eat it, but we throw bitter herbs on it, which is also a statement of negating its idolatrous quality. So it's interesting to consider the fact that there are still more interpretations. Some say that this is just, some of the Rishonim say this is just a zecher to how they eat it. This was how they made the meat more spiced. Or some of the Rishonim say that that was what they had to deal with the bad air in Mitzrayim and make food edible. So there's actually a whole host of symbolisms to what Marer is. But there is certainly the most well-known, and what the Mishnah is drawing on here, is that it is connected to the Mariris. So Rashi is telling us a number of chidushim here, in this one phrase in his commentary on Chumash. So he's telling us that there is a tzivoy of eating the Marer, and that it's zecher to the Mariris, and that all these vegetations call Esav, right? What was his language? Call Esav Mar Nikra Mar. Right? That every bitter vegetable is called Mar, and that's what the Pasuk is referring to. So what does that tell us? So if you had a chance to see the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Tes, you saw the Mishnah lists off different types of vegetables that could count for Marer. That's itself an important practical halacha discussion. What exactly counts and what qualifies? And maybe Rashi is trying to tell us that it's not one precise thing. And a number of Achronim understand from Rashi that really it doesn't even have to necessarily have been from those five items. It could be any bitter vegetable, at least to fit the definition of Marer. Magen Avraham, who's among that camp, Magen Avraham does say still, despite that, to fulfill the mitzvah of Marer, you would still have to have one of those five, because whatever was called Marer at Matan Torah is considered to be the Marer that fulfills this function. There's a sefer called Korban Chagiga, was written in the 1600s. He has a number of diukim on this Rashi also. And he understands these things coming together, the idea that Rashi is telling us there's a mitzvah to eat the marer, and that there are different types of marer. So these are related points, because he uses the expression nimsa chumro kulo, that if we were too machmer, and this would turn out to be a kulo, because if we were to say that only one type of vegetable could be marer, so then that would interfere with the mitzvah to eat it, because then if somebody didn't have it, he wouldn't be able to eat it. So by emphasizing that it's an obligation to eat it, and that there are different types that qualify, they all support that point, that there is, in his understanding, a mitzvah to eat it, which the Korban Chagiga notes is also how it sounds like from the Mechilta. So we have here different takes on whether it's an obligation to eat or not, and we already saw last week the Ramban on this pasuk also, where the Ramban says differently. The Ramban says that Marer is not the mitzvah, that the mitzvah is, this is all a part of the preparation of the Korban Pesach. And the Korban Pesach required matzah and marer, but because the language of the pasuk, matzah is an obligation to eat, and the Torah re-emphasizes be'erev tochlu matzos, but marer is not. So we see what seems to be a debate in the Rishonim as to whether eating marer is an obligation or not. Or is it just something that the Torah, when there was a din min haTorah of marer, so was that something which was just there to accompany the Korban Pesach, but isn't an independent mitzvah of Achila? Or is it something that counted on its own as its own mitzvah? And a part of it goes to how you read the pasuk in Bo. So do you read it as saying that the Achila is specifically on the Korban Pesach? Or on the Korban Pesach and Matzah? And then if Maror is there together with Matzah, does it make sense to say it's a mitzvah on the Maror as well? So it requires a lot of juggling. Also, a part of what's going to relate to this whole question is to what extent does somebody have to be able to taste the bitterness in the Maror in order to be Yotze? We know there are some limitations. The Gemara in our parak says that if you just swallow the Maror straight, you're not Yotze. And the Mishnah, Lamed Tes, states that you can't be prepared in a way that cancels out its taste. So if it's cooked or the like, so you're not going to be Yotze eating Maror in that sense. So it does seem to suggest that there is a requirement that we actually connect to the mitzvah of Maror, into its bitterness specifically, and that maybe that could suggest that even if you have different types that are all qualified, but if one is more bitter tasting than the other, then maybe that should be prioritized. So that itself is a whole discussion. So when the Mishnah starts off with lettuce, with chasa, so it sounds like that should be prioritized because that's mentioned first. That's how the Gemara sounds. So that's also a part of the discussion. So nowadays, so we have a mitzvah of Mar, which is Drabbanan. That's what the Gemara says, that because it was tied into the Korban Pesach, so our mitzvah is Drabbanan. But what does that mean, practically speaking? Does that mean there is now a mitzvah of Achila? Does it require a kizayis? And if min haTorah, it didn't require achila, so then it's interesting that midrabanan it should, because that would mean that we are deviating from the way the Torah had it. And normally we say that kol d'tikun rabanan kein d'oraisa tarah, that Chazal make their dinim to parallel the mitzvah min haTorah. So it's very unusual that if the mitzvah min haTorah was one thing, and Chazal said, okay, it doesn't apply min haTorah, but do it anyway to remember it. So then, if anything, it wouldn't be more chomer than the din min haTorah. Maybe you would think it should be as chomer as the din min haTorah because of that rule of kol tikun rabbanan. But the idea that the Torah didn't require it to be a kazayas, and Chazal did require it to be a kazayas, is unusual. Hi, Sam.
Perhaps so. If Chazal wants you to eat it, like that's the smallest measurement they can make you eat it.
Oh. Right, so that's true. Right, so that becomes a whole discussion. Right? So this comment of the Rush, which is a tremendous literature on this Rush. The Rush really spawned a whole fight back and forth on what he meant and what he was saying and why he said it the way he said it. It's a very debated Rush. But the Rush might be saying what you're saying, or might be saying more, or might be saying less. So basically, the Rush says that from the fact that we have a bracha of Asher Kedushanu Mitzvosa V'Tzivanu Al Achilas Maror, so that shows you that it has to be a kazayis. So we mentioned this a little bit last week. So the Shagas Aryeh gets very upset about this Rush, because the Shagas Aryeh says that why is the Rush saying that we can look to the bracha? It sounds like, oh, we din derabanan that Chazal created the mitzvah of kezayis. But you know anyway, minat Torah it's kezayis, because achila is always kezayis, and if there's a mitzvah of achila on a level minat Torah, so then that should mean that it's a kezayis. We know that already. So you could argue that that's what the Rush meant, that that's what Chazal were perceiving. It's not necessarily what the Rush was saying. There's a tshuva in the Truma Sadashin. The Truma Sadashin was talking about the concept of beria, that when we say achila is the kezayis, so in general that means it has to at least be that big. But when you have a natural item, if the item is created in nature, this particular iteration of it, the whole thing is less than a kezayis, and you eat the whole thing, so then that has the status of achila too. So he talks about, so what if you have a mara less than a kezayis, but the whole entity is less than a kezayis? So would you be yotzei with that? So the Truma Sadeshin says, yeah, for sure, because it's true even when it comes to a din haTorah of achila, we say that there is a din of beria, that you would be considered achila with less than a kezayis if it was the whole thing. So when it comes to marer, the Torah doesn't even call achila all the more so. And he quotes the Rush to make that point. So it sounds like, at least the way the Shema Sadeshin is understanding the Rush, that the Torah does not require achila for the kezayis, and achila of kezayis, and it's just the din derabanan that tells us that we do. So that's itself interesting. Rav Shechter Shlita, in his writings about this topic, so he makes the point, Sam, this might be the way you were saying it, I'm not sure if this is how you were bringing it out, that says that what we should look at in the Rush is not that Chazal used this language of Achila in the Bracha, because they could have made it al mitzvah smart if they wanted to make it less than that. But the significant point is that they made a bracha at all. Because since this is something that we're doing, zeicher l'mikdash, so it could be that it should get a bracha. And that's something, if you recall, we discussed in the context of karpas, right? In the context of Korech also, and the question of whether Korech as Zeichel Mikdash should get its own bracha or not. We saw a machlokas about that. And if something is Zeichel Mikdash, is it coming from a different mitzvah, or coming from a different din of Sionin Doresh law, so then it shouldn't get a bracha. Now the way Rav Shechter explains that in Eretz HaTzvi is that because a bracha is attached to an action of a mitzvah and not to a kiyum ha-mitzvah, to a fulfillment of the mitzvah. So, for example, Sfiras Omer is coming up. We make a bracha every day, even if we understand it to be all one big mitzvah, because it has 49 actions. So each action is where you make the bracha, not with the kiyum ha-mitzvah. So Azeich HaMikdash, she says, is a means to an end. So the action is not necessarily significant by itself. So therefore, you wouldn't make a bracha on it just after the mikdash. But apparently, from Chazal making a bracha, it sounds like Marer is motivated by Zechel and Mikdash. But Chazal then formulated as a mitzvah derabbanan. And therefore, there's a bracha for that. So maybe Sam, that's your point. That once they said, okay, there's a mitzvah to eat the matzah, so to eat the mar, the mitzvah to eat the mar, so then Bal Karcha became a kezayis. So on the one hand, that could explain why it deviates from the Din Minat Torah, except that that's itself a question. So why did they formulate a mitzvah of achila if the Torah never had a mitzvah of achila? So one other point that could contribute to this, there is a, you saw the Mishnah Daf Lamed Tes, so it's one of the points that the Shagas Aryeh brings up, that you could say there's a pretty strong riot from there, that there is a obligation of Kizayis by Mar. Right? You see a phrase there that kind of sounds like it? It's telling the rules of Mar and it's listing off the different types. So what does it say about all those types? That they're all mashlim and the kezayas. Right? They can all contribute to the kezayas. So there you have it, black on white, that you require a kezayas for Mar. So why is that not a slam dunk proof? Right, let's say it again, that if the rush is to be understood as, well, midrabanan, we need a kezayas. But the pasuk, when it was a dimmin haTorah, it didn't have that requirement. So, what about the Mishnah that says this is all what contributes to a kezayas? So Rav Soloveitchik in his shiurim, and Rav Schechter quotes this in a different part, place, he talks about this in Eretz HaTzvi a little bit, and in the Mepnine Harav, he has this part, this items that he quotes there from Rav Soloveitchik, that Rav Soloveitchik in his shiurim would say that maybe that's not a proof for the Shagas Aryeh's point, that maybe in Hanami, in HaTorah, it didn't require a kezayas. But when Chazal made the Din d'Rabbanan, then they required a kezayas, and that's what the Mishnah is talking about. So that's why the Rosh is saying, look at the bracha, we see that Chazal instituted a Din of Achila, and that requires a kezayas, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the Pasuk is saying that. It's interesting, it's a little striking, if the Yavnei Nezer has a tshuva about this, where he talks about whether if somebody has a hard time eating a kezayas of mar, doesn't have a kezayas of mar, could it be yotzei with less? And he has this very strong language of against the Shagas Aryeh. He says the Shagas Aryeh, when he says, oh, how could the Rosh look at the bracha? Why hasn't he looked at the pasuk? So the Avin there says, I don't understand this. Shagas Aryeh knew Kol HaTorah Kula, so he didn't look at the pasuk carefully. He's only looking at the pasuk in Baloscha by Pasuk Sheni, but you look at the pasuk in Bal, the pasuk doesn't actually say that Marer is its mitzvah of Achila. Kind of a striking language. So the Rav said this in Shir, that maybe the Mishnah is only talking about the Din d'Rabbanan. So the interesting thing is that many Sfarim that quote in the name of Reb Chaim Brisker, right, who was, of course, the Rav's grandfather, that the Rav had a, that Reb Chaim Brisker had a different interpretation of that statement, to work again with the Rush, that maybe it doesn't mean that they need a kezayas of Marer, but maybe the combination of matzah and Marer together has to be a kezayas. So hakol mashlim in the kezayas, maybe it doesn't mean that Marer you have to have a kezayas. Maybe it means that the matzah marer combination has to be a kezayas. And therefore, all the marer can count towards the kezayas, not a kezayas of marer, the kezayas of the whole thing. So it's interesting that the Rav would say differently than Reb Chaim. So there, in Mipnini Harav, Reb Schechter quotes that when I guess when he was there at the shir, the Rav said this, that somebody in the shir raised his hand and said, but they say in the name of Reb Chaim this different interpretation. So he records there that the Rav said that he didn't think that made sense, and that he didn't think the Reb Chaim really said that. So it's interesting. I wonder if you could suggest, we have to think about this a little bit more, that what if maybe these points could be related? That the notion of one joint kezayis, let's say if we say that indeed min haTorah, there wasn't an obligation of maror as a kezayis, and yet there is one midrabanan, and that prompts us with the question of why would Chazal create a mitzvah derabanan that's different from the way the mitzvah is min haTorah? And further, even if you say, like Sam is saying, because if they're going to make a din of Achila, it has to be a Kazayas. So yeah, but why would they make a din of Achila if Min HaTorah wasn't a mitzvah of Achila Amar, if that's true? According to some Rishonim, there was, but if there wasn't, according to Rashi and the Sefer Yireim, there probably was a mitzvah of Achila Amar, but if there wasn't, so then why'd they make a different one? So I wonder, it's a little bit speculative, but I wonder if you could say that that gufa is the Zeich HaMikdash. That when we talk about Zeich HaMikdash, so we walk a fine line. You know, that there are certain things we davka don't do because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. And there are certain things that we davka do in order to maintain the connection. And the way the Gemara expresses it, specifically the Gemara that Rav and Rosh Hashanah invoked in this context of Zeich HaMikdash, of Sion and Doresh Lo, is not that we want to just have a monument, but we want to arouse the tshuka to long for the Beis HaMikdash. So it's kind of a delicate balance. Now, there is a very interesting Sfas Emes that, so coming up on Pesach, so there's another Yontif that is embedded within Pesach, the 16th of Nisan. Now, we said before that the 14th of Nisan is really the Chag HaPesach, and the 15th is Chag HaMatzos, and the 16th has its own name. What is the 16th of Nisan? It's the Yom Henef. Is the day when they would do the waving of the Omer, and then the Chodesh is mutter after that point. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana that even though min haTorah you're allowed to have Chodesh in the morning, right after the time of the Hakrav Omer, and if there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Hakrav Omer, so the Chodesh becomes mutter right away. So min haTorah b'zman hazeh Chodesh should be mutter on the 16th of Nisan. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana shiyehe yom henef kulo aser, that midrabanan should wait another day. Why? It says mehera yibana hamikdash, that the Beis HaMikdash could be built at any minute, and Klal Yisrael won't realize there's a new din. They have to wait now for the Kravas HaOmer in order to have the Chodesh. So, to prevent that misunderstanding, so Chazal said, wait till the next day. So, if that's the case, so that's first of all surprising, because how likely is that? And the Gemara, in fact, has to kind of stand on its head to figure out a situation of when exactly the Beis HaMikdash popped back into the scene, that there would be such confusion, they wouldn't know what was going on. So, and it's problematic, because if they have been a Beis HaMikdash for a while already, so people would realize rules have changed. And if it just popped up the night before, so that's surprising, as the Rishonim asked, because Gemara considers that. The Rishonim asked that you don't build a Beis HaMikdash at night, and the day before was Yontif, you don't build a Beis HaMikdash on Yontif. So the whole scenario is very unlikely. And it seems, as some have suggested, that the whole takana was really just to emphasize the mentality of Meher Yibana HaMikdash and to maintain our emunah in that sense. But especially, Tosfos raises the question that when it comes to Lulav, So we take a lulav every day of Sukkot. Right? This year, we discussed earlier in the year that we missed our mitzvah in Torah this year because the first day of Sukkot was Shabbos, so we didn't take a lulav on the first day of Sukkot. And we only had dinim d'rabbanan, taking a lulav of the rest of Sukkot. So there, it's an interesting structure also, because what's the nature of the dinim d'rabbanan by lulav? So the nature is, you might think, okay, min haTorah, we only have to take a lulav the first day. And mid'rabbanan, Chazal expanded that and say, take a lulav every day of Sukkot. But that's not actually the case. That's not the din they were expanding on. That's why we do it the second day of Sukkot, is Yom Tov Sheni. All the din of Yom Tov Sheni are like that. So the fact we take a lulav of day two of Sukkot is an extension of day one. But what about all of Chol HaMoed Sukkot? That's not because of that din. That's because of, in the Mikdash, they would take the lulav every day. So Zeichel HaMikdash, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted that we should take it every day in Chutz Laaretz also. So the fact that we take a lulav on Chol HaMoed Sukkot, that is the Zeichel HaMikdash of what they did in HaTorah throughout Yom Tov, throughout Sukkot. So the Gemara mentions these two takanas together. Tosfos asks, like, why are they just, what do they have to do with each other? They have to be mentioned in the same place. That take a lulav every day of Sukkot, Zeichel HaMikdash, and at the second day of Pesach, Yom Hanif, it's prohibited to have Chadash until the day after. So Tzfas Emes says a beautiful idea. It says that on the one hand, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wanted to make this takana of lulav, that Zeichel HaMikdash, we should remember what they did in the Beis HaMikdash, we should take a lulav every day. But there's a problem with that. There's a danger that comes with that. What's the danger? So if you set up a museum, what kind of picture does that present? Who are museums for?
Things of the past.
Things of the past, right? Exactly. Right, so you'll think, okay, we set up a monument to remember what was. And that must mean we are in for a long haul, because there's no Beis HaMikdash now, and apparently it's not on the horizon, it's something we set up in museums, and it's something that we don't have any connection to actually, other than historically. So at the same time, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had to make the other takana too. That watch out when you eat Chadash, don't do it on the 16th, because at any minute the Beis HaMikdash could show up and then you're going to have to relearn the halacha. So as far-fetched as that may have been, as the Gemara has to figure out what's the scenario exactly, the effect of having such a din is to put on the radar screen that there could be a return to Tzion at any moment. So these two takanas are necessary for each other. Because on the one hand, the lulav is there to remember what happened in the Beis HaMikdash. But if we're just remembering, then it could just feel like, okay, this is a monument to the past. It has nothing to do with the future. So to make sure it shouldn't be perceived that way, there was also a takana at the same time, which reflected the fear, so to speak, you know, the concern, good concern, that the Beis HaMikdash could return at any moment, and that'll change the halacha. But that needs the other one. You know, that what makes it likely that the Beis HaMikdash will return sooner is keeping the attention on the Beis HaMikdash. So on the one hand, you need the Zeichel HaMikdash, but the risk of the Zeichel HaMikdash is that it could become something that's just a monument. So therefore, in order to prevent that from happening, we make sure that we complement it with another idea that shows us it's not just a museum. So maybe, just to speculate, maybe that's what's going on with Mara also. That Bizman HaMikdash, there was no mitzvah to eat Mara, at least according to those Rishonim. And that Mara only existed in the context of the Korban Pesach. So we could say, okay, so nowadays let's just have a picture of the maror that was had in the, or let's have maror on the plate to look like the maror that was there bisman the Korban Pesach. But instead, Chazal say no, that the mitzvah of eating that would have been about the Korban Pesach, or would have been about the Korban Pesach together with the matzah and maror, according to Hillel, the Rishonim, who understand that that was Hillel's view, that all were together. And instead, the Chazal is saying, okay, now you have a mitzvah to eat the maror by itself, and to remember the mikdash. What effect does that have? Think about it, right? So what effect does that have? So that has the effect that you're really thinking about what's missing. Because once upon a time I had a mitzvah to eat and maror was only a part of it. And together it was, according to the Rambam, the matzah also. But according to other Rishonim and Hillel, the matzah and the Pesach together. And now Chazal is saying, eat the matzah, eat the maror, sorry, eat the maror specifically by itself. Eat it kazayis of the maror. So that seems to serve a dual purpose. It reminds you of what was done when there was a Korban Pesach. At the same time as it reminds you that the Korban Pesach is missing. Because you have to get the whole kazayis from the maror. So maybe that's the gedder of the Zeichel HaMikdash. It's an unusual type of Zeichel HaMikdash in order to try to serve both functions and to help us to appreciate what exactly we're trying to keep in mind. Perhaps. So that's something we have to look for more clues and figure out. But a major part that we still have to also try to understand a little better, and it's a very complex idea, so we'll try to give some time tomorrow to also flesh out a little bit more, is to go back to this concern, which was behind, to some extent, the debate between Hillel and the Chachamim. So when we're told that we have to have matzah and maror and bizman hamikdash korban pesach, so does that mean have matzah and have maror and have korban pesach, or does that mean have all of them together, a view of Hillel? And we have to try to figure out, so what's really driving that machlokes? But also the very complex idea that the Gemara brings up in conjunction with this issue of mitzvos mevatlos zuitzu. The whole idea that we're afraid that somehow the mitzvos are going to negate each other. And that it sounds like the Chachamim felt there was an issue with having matzah and maror in the same unit, and that Hillel didn't. And that even Hillel, though, agreed when the mitzvos were on different levels. And that's what leads to our practice today. That to have a mitzvah min haTorah and a mitzvah derabbanan, that would create a sense of bittul. And that doesn't work. And that's why our practice today is because of the difference between matzah and maror. That matzah is min haTorah and maror is drabanan, so we have to have matzah by itself. And only then have maror. And that according to satisfy Hillel, to have the combination of matzah and maror and korban. And we can't have the korban first, because even according to Hillel, we have an issue of having the korban first. Because of the disparity between matzah and maror nowadays, the maror is going to be mevatel the matzah. So what does that mean, that whole concept of mitzvos mevatlo zuzu? And isn't it unusual that the lower one wins? Is that usually the way Bithla works? Right, that there's this concern that the Din Rabbanan is going to knock out the Din Minhag Torah? It's a very strange idea. So we need to try to explore that a little bit more and see if that can tell us anything about also how the initial relationship between Pesach and Matzah and Maror is meant to be. So God willing, we'll try to fill it in tomorrow as our marathon heading towards Pesach. Just to recap, what are some of the points that we spoke about today? So we talked about the machlokes, whether Maror was ever a din of achila min haTorah. The Rambam doesn't count it, the Smag doesn't count it, the Ravine Chumash says it wasn't, but Rashi sounds like it is, it was min haTorah, and Sefer Reim also says that, and we talked also about other diyukim in Rashi, that where Rashi sounds like any bitter vegetable could count as mar, but as the Magen Avraham points out, the Maisa, only the ones that are actually labeled as that, time not in Torah. And we talked about the question of the symbolism of mar. The most well-known and intuitive symbolism is the Meriris of the Avdus, but a number of Rishonim have a few other candidates, which is interesting to consider. But it also affects the whole message here. We talked about to what extent we have to actually perceive the Meriris in the eating of the Mara. And then we talked about the question of whatever it was, Min HaTorah, so Midrabanan, is it a mitzvah of Achilo or not? And if it is, and it wasn't Min HaTorah, that's interesting, because normally you would expect the Rabbanan to foul with the Min HaTorah, and why would it deviate? And the Rush was Medayik from the Bracha that you needed Kazayas. Shai Gassari says, what are you talking about? You can tell from Min HaTorah that it's a Din in Kazayas, because it's a Din in Achila. It's a whole debate about that. And the question also, how to accommodate the Mishnah, which says that all the different types combine to a Kazayas. Sounds like you do need a Kazayas. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested that's only talking about the Din Rabbanim, and I told her you didn't necessarily need a Kazayas. Rav Chaim said differently, and the Rav disputed that Rav Chaim really said it. Rav Chaim is quoted as saying that maybe the Mishnah is just saying the combination of Matzah and Maror Kazayas, that's what we're talking about. And we postulated that maybe, Taka, that's the issue, that Min HaTorah, so there was no mitzvah of a Kazayas by Maror specifically, it was the whole combination. And Chazal said to have a Kazayas because that's where the Zecher is. The Zecher is in the difference between the way it was in the Mikdash and now. So to remember that once upon a time there was a mitzvah to eat that didn't require the whole thing to come from Maror, and now we have to have a Kazayas from the Maror. So that will create the Atshuka for the Mikdash more than just commemorating exactly what happened. And maybe that's Davka the point. So to try to understand that a little bit more, we also have to try to figure out how Hillel related to the whole thing and why he requires the combination. And the very mysterious issue of mitzvos mevatlos suudzu, which is behind their debate to some extent, that we'll also have to explore. So Bez Hashem tomorrow on the Tuesday schedule, again we will be in person as Hashem tomorrow also, we'll have to try to get a further understanding of that, and then we'll look also at the Mishnah of Rabban Gamliel and see how that fits into the whole picture as well. So at least Beis Hashem should come into the Seder with the fundamentals. Should have that down pat. All right, I wish everyone a wonderful day. Should stay safe and healthy, and look forward to seeing you tomorrow.